Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I would also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 563-999-3478. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 563-999-3478. 3478. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: immigration impact. Does having an open border make Americans safer? What about Black Americans? First, There are two kinds of immigration, legal and illegal. Those seeking asylum from their native country can ask for asylum in the good old USA. Those who are undocumented and enter illegally can or should be deported to their native country, back to their native country, right? Basically, goes a little something like that, but it doesn't really go like that, as we all know, right? From NBC, the U.S. policy is to return non-citizens who do not have a fear of persecution or torture or a legal basis to enter the United States. Those interdicted, not permitted at sea, are subject to immediate repatriation, return, pursuant to our long-standing policy and procedures. So basically, if they catch you when the water is trying to get in, they're going to take you back to where you came from, force you back, whatever they've got to do to get you to go back, and end of story. Can't come over if you're not supposed to be here. So you got to have a legal reason to be here, right? So who would think that? You would think that there should be no such thing as an open border. And you would be right. Anybody thinking there should be no such thing as an open border, people shouldn't be able to just walk up in here. Just as you have to be aware and beware of who is coming into your house, you should be aware of who is coming into your country, or beware of who is coming into your country. Some think illegal immigrants take jobs from Americans, and others think they take jobs Americans don't want. Both can be right. You have to be suspicious about an open border policy that allows millions of illegal and or legal immigrants into the country. What about allegations of replacing or taking job opportunities from Americans, from blacks? One friend alluded to the instigating of violent conflict between blacks and illegal immigrants. It's all very interesting. From News Gallup, it said the real impact of illegal immigration. The most obvious beneficiaries, right? They say, oh, well, first, they said the question is it right to permit 500,000 people into the country, which is the current estimate of a number of illegal immigrants entering the United States every year? Is that okay? The most obvious beneficiaries, they say, are the companies hiring illegal immigrants and their stockholders. By allowing open door use of illegal workers, we have unofficially changed U.S. labor laws and allowed people to work at much lower wages and in much worse conditions than it's supposed to be. That promotes higher profits and better returns to stockholders. I thought that was a very interesting explanation for why 500,000 people are being allowed, illegal immigrants are being allowed to cross into the United States. But you kind of have to figure it had to have something to do with money. Ask yourself, are you a stockholder? You might be, I don't know. They said right now, China, India, and a number of other countries are experiencing rapid economic growth because they are the source of cheap labor for the global economy. You know how everything says made in China, stuff made in Bangladesh, stuff like that. So they're talking made in Taiwan, stuff like that. Companies that can tap this lower cost labor source experience higher productivity, competitive advantage, and rapid growth. Illegal immigrants create a source of cheap labor that companies can use to grow more rapidly. Okay, so you know the cheapest labor you can get is called slave labor, chattel slave labor. And that's it, the economics slave, right? That they call economic slavery, right? You're just stuck in a low wage paying job, but you got to work somewhere because you got to eat, right? So Dennis Jacoby, PhD, said, the growth of the economy, which demands a certain amount of labor, right? There are two things that affect that, right? If more restaurants come into business, they need more waiters and cooks and so forth. The economy grows, he said, right? But the second is substitution effect. As illegal immigrants have moved from a concentration in a few large cities and dispersed across the country, in essence, they have undercut the wages that businesses pay to legal workers in many industries. Therefore, they substitute for that labor. So that's not just black folks. And in that context, they drive down the price of labor overall. So who do you think they're going to hire? He's going to hire this guy. Just use an example. I'm going to pay him a nickel, or I'm going to pay you a quarter. Go figure. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the influx of illegal immigrants is not about increasing restaurant workers. It appears to be a part of someone's diabolical plan to do exactly what an influx of millions of illegal immigrants is actually doing, distracting folks from the real source of the problem with chaos and deception. Black Americans have been fighting on the back foot forever. Looks like corporate America's industries will benefit too. Does the word illegal mean anything except when it involves a black man? That's my question, and I'm sticking to it. Illegal. We're talking about illegal. So, but I keep seeing all these permissive things that they have for illegal persons. It's very confusing. From the New York Times, 8 million people are working illegally in the U.S. 8 million, how do you even get that count? If it's 8 million, how do you know 8 million is working? And because if you can count 8 million, that means you can deport 8 million. But apparently, these 8 million people are not people who anybody's looking to deport, right? And I know I'm saying, I don't knock the immigrants for coming here, legally or illegally. If it's opportunity, people going to, you know, run to it, you know? That's the way it goes. But we are talking about the situation that we have here, because it seems like we have a abundance of illegal immigrants. The term illegal kind of has a certain type of procedure that goes with it. Or at least we thought it did. Anyway, at least I thought it did, but I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, so therefore, we learn, right? For years, policymakers have, this is from the New York Times, for years, policymakers have talked about shutting off the influx of undocumented workers. We talked about this, But the economy has grown to rely on them, the economy, right? Ending illegal immigration, they said, with so many have, of those who have studied the issue say, could mean that American workers would lose their jobs. That means that some of the folks working would lose their jobs if you end illegal immigration. Pay attention. Companies would close, and the economy would contract, right? The economy is going to have a collapse of the economy. We're going into a recession, right? Ending illegal immigration, they say, could mean that American workers would lose their jobs, companies would close, and the economy would contract. What in the world are you talking about? It's illegal. You would think that, you would not think that illegal immigrants, I wouldn't anyway, I'm just going to put it on me because I'm not sharp as like in the kitchen, not afraid to admit it. You would think that if it's something illegal, it would not become a pillar of the economic of this society or anybody's society, but you have to really think. Don't assume. Maybe that's assuming. They said Trump administration had conducted payroll audits and workplace raids, which have resulted in the arrest of thousands of workers. So Trump was interesting because they say he had workers, like undocumented workers across the country. The former Fedminster employees interviewed by the New York Times said they used counterfeit Social Security and green cards to get all hired. So it's these guys are smart, right? Or should I say that they're resourceful, okay? We don't say use the word resource. They're resourceful, right? Many of Trump's golf clubs might struggle to recruit legal workers to replace any undocumented workers who are terminated. Most undocumented immigrants are in the labor force, they say. About 8 million of the nearly 11 million immigrants unlawfully in the United States. Crazy. They account for about 5% of all workers, according to the Pew Research Center. Our economy has absorbed these workers, and employers would like more of them, they said. So they, the people who, that's what the guy said. So, given the low employment rate, said Madeline Zavani, an economist at the University of North Florida, who is an expert on economics of immigration. Undocumented immigrants are overrepresented in low-skilled jobs such as farming, construction, and child care. I didn't know construction was a low-skilled job. What in the world are you talking about? There's no low skills in the building a house. So I don't know what you're talking about there. They're talking about guys just picking up trash or something. Handing people stuff. What are they talking about? Tearing up stuff. You don't want an unskilled person building your house, folks. Or a low-skilled person. It takes skill to put a good house. Unauthorized workers represent about 15% of those employed in construction. Says Jason Harris for the New York Times. Often these are jobs their employers have trouble filling with American workers. So, sounds like their jobs that Americans aren't aware of, so they don't apply for them, or aware of, they don't pay enough, don't have enough benefits, so they don't apply for them. Some reason Americans don't apply for these jobs. I don't know why. So, that would be jobs Americans either can't get or don't want. Why would an employer hire a citizen if they can hire an illegal immigrant and pay them less and increase his profit? It's greed at the root of the salary and hiring practices of some American industry. It's greed at the root. We know what's driving the immigrant, starvation, right? Quality of life. Things like that. We get that. We understand why the immigrants are coming here. Opportunity, right? To better opportunity here. Where they are is so bad that this is the golden goose to them. Get that. Annabelle Garcia, an undocumented immigrant from Mexico, toils in the vineyards, right, of San County in California, earning about $15 an hour. When the season ends each year, she finds work cleaning houses and wine estates, earning about $20 an hour. Her husband, Jorge Romero, works in the cow pastures nearby. Might be a little problem there for some city guys. But we have country guys too, but they didn't say how much Jorge makes in these cow pastures. But that must not be a handsome long way because they didn't even mention it. Anyway, we are here, she said, we are here to do any work. They're willing to do anything, see? Said Garcia, 39 years old. There are no Americans in the field. She said, Americans don't even hear. What are you complaining about? Y'all, where y'all at? We here. I get it. The work appears to be the stereotypic work that slaves and indentured servants used to do, and by today's living standards, slave wages, though it beats a blank, right? $15 an hour times 820 a day times 5 days is 600 a week times 12 weeks is 7,200 around for the season. Because the season, I think, is 3 months. $20 an hour times 8 hours is 160 a day times 5 days a week is 800 a week. 52 weeks is 41,600 a year. That's if you work the whole thing. So if you only work the 9 months or so, right, that would be more like 800 a week times 40, so $3,200 per year, right, if you choose to pick grapes, 3 months, approximately 3 month season, right? What about health benefits, pension, sick days, holidays, pay scale, living, cost of living increases, and, you know, the benefit package? And they didn't mention none of that. That drives up the value of the job. And Americans are going to be looking for that, for those type things. Where an immigrant might just be looking for just that money. You know, just pray that they don't injure themselves and get sick while, you know, they're employed. I don't know. From winefolly.com, when is grape harvest season? In the northern hemisphere, it's from August to October. In the southern hemisphere, it's from February to April. Just a little for your information. That's why I got the 3 months from. Wages, raising wages is not a catch-all solution. If you raise them up high enough, I think you get some folks out there. But I give it the same, just for the job. People might not want that job. What would happen if all the undocumented immigrants went away? Is that what people want? Because it's saying here that the illegal immigrants are holding up of certain industries in this country. If we didn't have them working, things would collapse. Is that what they want, or is it that they want to be treated as citizens first? Which I kind of get the citizens first thing from some of the things I've been reading. It's like, yo, how you doing that? When we stuck in the mud here, you pulling them folks out the mud over there. And we neck deep in mud right here. What's up with that? So I get that too. But nobody's aware of the economics that these industries have. Because it's not the average Joe that's causing it. This is what industries have produced. And the government. Because they're illegal. If you can count 8 million, you can deport 8 million illegal immigrants. So the government must be allowing it. That's the only way I can look at it. If you're counting 8 million, they're not hiding. And why would they hide? They say not everybody will do the dirty work. We know that. It's not everybody will do any kind of work, right? Because some people aren't suited for certain types of jobs. And we know that. They might prefer to make a low wage working inside Amazon, an Amazon distribution center, to putting shingles on a roof. This is more dangerous, actually, than working in an Amazon distribution center. Not to say that that's not a dangerous work site either. A survey conducted in late 1917 by Associated Contractors of America found that 70% of construction companies were having difficulty hiring roofers, bricklayers, and electricians, among others. Now that's what I call skilled laborers. Roofers, bricklayers, and electricians. It takes skill to do that, especially those bricklayers and electricians. That's skill. The accommodation and food service sector reported a record number of vacancies in October. A closed border could mean a shrinking economy, they said. Just getting rid of these illegal immigrants could shrink the economy. So I'm going to go out and say they're talking about the guys that's working, not the guys that just came over that the United States is putting up, the government is putting up in hotels and whatever kind of makeshift kind of places they produce for them, right? So they're talking about people who actually are earning money. They probably have a place to live. They're paying rent somewhere. And, you know, basically it's just illegal, but they're doing, you know, they're contributing to the economics of the country. That's the only way that could, they can make that statement about that and get rid of them because of economic collapse, right? So we're talking about folks that's coming over here with no job, right? That you have to house. Maybe they came over here and did the same thing some kind of other way. But now we have a situation where they have this open border and all these illegal immigrants are coming in. They're having some problems in some cities that I've heard of, particularly Chicago and New York. Right? It's not going well. Historically, the regulation of the border with Mexico, the main source of migration, has always been driven by the needs of the economy, says Mr. Tilly. That's another economist, right? He said that less true now under the Trump administration, which has sought to check illegal border crossing by all means possible. Well, shouldn't you check the border, people from crossing the border? I don't understand that. Why would they be mad at Trump when he was president for making sure that nobody crosses the border illegally? That makes no sense to me. That's almost saying, hey, you're not supposed to cross, but if you cross over here, nobody's going to say anything, okay? Especially if you don't bother anybody, you don't kill anybody, you get to work, and you just do what you have to do, just get a pay rent, buy a house if you earn enough money, and just live a normal life. We don't care. Just come. So, I don't know. It's Giovanni Perry, an economist, said, he said he studies immigration, labor, and the University of California. Said that with a true cutoff in illegal immigration, the economy would contract. They keep saying that. The impact, he said, would fall not just on immigrants because their work sustains sectors that employ many Americans. So it wouldn't, I guess they're talking like the rest of my business, hotel business, and resorts. So it may be some Americans working there, but there's a lot of immigrants holding it down too. So without them, boof, you got closed down a resort or whatever kind of place, hotel or something like that, right? That's the example that I'm using, you know. Some sectors like construction, agriculture, housing, and personal services would be drastically reduced. Said Perry. There would be companies closing and relocating. Well, we know they're going to relocate. They did that already. There would be jobs lost. Okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting the economics of this, but it should have never gotten to this. Because that means, that indicates you didn't want to pay Americans a living wage. These industries didn't want to pay Americans a living wage, right? There will be towns and cities that would see half their population disappear. It definitely would trigger a recession. We are talking about a lot of job loss, they said. It's very unlikely that weak, vulnerable American workers would benefit from jobs previously held by immigrants. What? That the weak, vulnerable American worker. What? Who is this? Because of some, these jobs themselves would disappear. He says, the jobs would disappear themselves, so you're not going to benefit from it. But unlike the weak, vulnerable American thing, what kind of nonsense is that? Anyway, some Americans are unemployed for a reason, they say. Look at this. The ones who are not employed have complicated circumstances like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and criminal records. That's what they think about Americans. Y'all hear that? So you get your act together, America. People, that shows me that people are looking at you and judging you. And for some reason, these individuals with these particular circumstances are standing out, because that's not the only reason why people are not employed. But that's what Perry said in his research, though. So there are no unemployed Americans ready to do their jobs. They said, these guys need to get rid of these illegal immigrants, y'all. There's no unemployed Americans ready to do their jobs. Is that why they have this? No, that can't be why they have the influx. I don't get it. If you got 8 million illegal immigrants working right now, but you just bought, what is it? How many is here now? Came over the border, 500,000 a year? Come on now. That's a lot, folks. In some sectors, there might be people who would do these jobs at much higher rates, says Ms. Zalvandi, right? The economist in Florida. But it's not clear those jobs would exist at much higher wages. Agriculture, construction, and service would be people waiting on you and stuff like that. Hello, man, help you. That, and people are picking up grapes, corn, you know, if they don't have a machine doing it, you know, that kind of stuff. Agriculture industry has begun to invest in the automation and robotics to compensate for a worsening labor shortage. So robotics is coming. And you know, anytime they have automation, people lose their jobs, right? So I have a caller who's saying, I want to get this caller in here because got a whole lot of stuff in here. Caller 3943. Hello. Welcome to Kabaka the Thought.
Thank you for taking my call. And might I say you're spot on with everything you're talking about. And also, you're just getting into the automated part of the issue, and that's very true. Everything is technology now. And so, as you were saying, you need one person to run that crop picker machine, and whereas they would have maybe 20, 30 people picking the crops, now this machine takes care of that and removes 29 of them. And so when they say that illegal immigrants will take the jobs that Americans don't want to do, well, that's also preventing Americans from earning a somewhat living wage or even a beginning wage, because that would force, if there weren't any illegal immigrants looking for low-paying skilled jobs, slave jobs, then they would have to up their wage in order to get a more qualified person, a skilled person, or a person who in general knows what they're doing as far as picking crops. It can't be that hard, but nevertheless, it would increase the wages. And so we're finding here in California with the wage increase that companies are paying for Americans who are working, and even visa people, the whole visas are here legally, are having to meet that wage. So at least they're getting $15-$20, even though inflation cancels that out, but I think you get my point. And it's, I don't know these people, the illegal immigrants that are crossing into America illegally, or these people that are crossing in illegally. And I understand they want a, better life and all that. But if they're being exploited, how is that making a life better for them? Now they probably don't have the money to get back because they spend it all trying to get here. And now they're making, $3-$4 an hour, if that, and not in great conditions. A lot of times they'll have like a shack for them to live in or something. And how is that making a better life for them? America should be ashamed of itself for allowing this to happen. And others who don't find companies to exploit them are now on the street and commit crime, which goes to your topic as far as are Americans safe with illegal immigration. And it's like, no, we're not. because they're, right. You get desperate. You want to feed your family. So what are you going to do? What would anybody do? You know, rob, steal, you know, whatever they have to do to feed their family because they're desperate. And
right.
You know, that's something we all can understand. But on the same note, we're allowing it to happen. So it's like, you know, they need to go back if they don't have any means of supporting themselves. And also one more point. They're supposed to, wherever they left their country, Venezuela, any state or any countries in between that have an American embassy, they're supposed to go to that embassy and apply before they get here for asylum, not just trek all the way here and then say, well, we made it, now we want asylum. So as far as our asylum laws go, that's what they're supposed to do is go to the first
American. Out the window. That's where they go.
Yeah,
stuff is out the window.
And when Trump was president, he had established a deal with Mexico's president that people who are waiting to be assessed for asylum, refugee status, whatever, would stay in Mexico. And that way we had more control over who would come into the country. They were somewhat vetted because many of them didn't have any papers. So it's hard to see if they're a murderer or, you know, just a citizen or whatever. Because they have no papers, but they can be at least somewhat vetted when we have control of who's coming in. But right now,
right.
There's just no control. They're just allowing them to, I mean, even the border control, people are supposed to be cutting the wires that Texas put up to at least reduce the flow. But when you have somebody working against you, you know, what is that about? I don't understand. Maybe you can explain it to me. Because I just don't get it. It's like, okay, wait, these are our immigration laws, but then you're going against immigration laws, and this is the president
right.
of the United States, you know. And
right.
So it's like, what?
That's right. Because somebody bigger than us is benefiting from it, apparently. So an average Joe, this has nothing to do with us in terms of why they're coming. It has something to do with folks who have the capacity to influence lawmakers and, you know, law enforcement, and you see government, and you see what the result is. So needless to say, we live in an oligarchy, because that's the only way that could happen, you know. So
I have to agree with you there.
You know, it's, I mean, United States is better than a lot of places, you know, America, you know, USA, and it could be a great country, you know, a really great country. It could be what they say it is if they only do, you know, the things that they should do to make it great. You understand what I'm saying? So, but they're not doing that. That's not what's happening. And you know, we got a lot of people here who are pacified. You kind of, you know, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. And, you know, it kind of calms you down. You know what I'm saying? You see people just get a little calm down. You know, they don't see you. Every once in a while, something happens and the people get out on the streets and start marching, you know. But does somebody have to die for that? Come on now. We have a lot of other things that's happening that's going to promote or create those same kind of circumstances, but somebody's going to eventually, as you said, crime's going to be committed, somebody's going to die. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's...
And what's interesting is that the lawmakers, the same lawmakers, not maybe this batch that's there now or the one before it, but laws were created on the books that established our immigration policy, our asylum policy, our refugee policy, and all of that. But our government is so busy trying to get around it, sidestep it, unilaterally go around it, and all this other. So they're breaking the law by doing that. I mean, these laws were there in place. They just need to be enforced. But no, we're going to figure out ways to go around it. Or, you know, this is ridiculous. But anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. And,
thank you very much for calling in. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Thank you. Okay, you guys, you heard it. Heard the young lady. And, you know, thank her for calling in. Anybody else want to call in? Just call in. Feel free. Anything you have to say is important to me and our listeners. We want to know what other people are thinking. So there's no harm and no shame in that. So we have this situation, as she said. Like, we got laws. We have laws. But like I said in the beginning, does illegal mean anything? Does it, this fact that the people are illegal mean anything? No. The answer to that question is no. because there's too much money involved. Money trumps everything, right? So that's why they built an economy based on illegal immigrants, they say, anyway. I don't even know how true that is because I don't have boots on the ground. I haven't looked at any books or did anything like that, but apparently a couple of industries would suffer greatly due to this situation. But as we alluded to, the young lady alluded to also, and I said in the beginning, if you pay people a living wage, you might attract a lot of Americans. You understand? Pay them. I mean, how many millions and billions of dollars do you need to make a year? You, who make millions and billions of dollars. Can't other people, you know, earn some money too? What kind of a... They said about 30% of all undocumented immigrant workers were in the service occupation in 2016. This is just, listen, giving you some, the climate, right? Unauthorized immigrants represent about 24% of all workers in farming, fishing, forestry, 50% of those employed in construction, which is the industry that uses the most undocumented immigrant workers overall. Construction uses the most undocumented immigrant workers overall at 1.35 million. So if they're undocumented illegal people, how do you get all these numbers and they're still here? And the answer is they're backed by somebody with power. So what they do earns money for someone, right? Like I said, I wonder if they get health benefits, vacation time, and with a benefit package. Do you think they're getting that? I don't think so. Anyway, it said nearly a quarter of restaurant workers in 2016 were foreign-born, compared with 18.5% for all sectors. These workers are often long-tenured and skilled, right? They are nothing short of vital to farmers, businesses, and rural economies. See? And this is because you didn't nurture Americans in these roles. You didn't want to pay them. I'm just saying, because it's a hard job bending over, picking up stuff out the ground, or even above your head in a tree. So it's very difficult. That's a lot of work. So, I mean, if you're making millions and billions of dollars in your industry, why can't you pay people more money? Or is it just everybody stuck on this here? I'm going to put out the least amount of money that I can and to gain the greatest profit. Can you? It's greed at the helm here. I smell greed. So, the plot thickens. Right? They say each job they perform sustains two or three jobs in the surrounding economy. Each job these immigrants perform sustains two or three jobs in the surrounding economy. So even though few Americans seek this field and farm work, the jobs of many Americans and many communities are sustained by their contribution. You feel me? So the plot thickens. The big picture is the economy is dependent on the labor of illegal, undocumented immigrants. The economy will all but collapse if they send them all back where they came from, and there is not enough Americans to replace them in the job market. So why are they busing the illegal immigrants to poor, impoverished, crime-stricken communities like Chicago and New York? If there is so much work, why aren't they working, paying for their own food and shelter? I'm just asking a question here. Why are they being supported in living quarters such as four-star hotels, stuff like that? What in the world? What is going on here, y'all? New York Times said about 100 hotels and other facilities from iconic skyscrapers, y'all been in a skyscraper? I'm scared of heights, so I never been in one. But they say 100 hotels and other facilities from iconic skyscrapers. I never been in an iconic skyscraper. I've been up high, but I've never been in an iconic skyscraper. To humble airport motels that the city has converted into temporary housing for some of the 50,000 migrants who have arrived on buses from the southern border since last spring. The effort may ultimately cost as much as $4 billion over the next 2 years and could result in cuts in city services. What? I thought we've been benefited from the immigrants. The mayor has warned about this, right? The immigrants, they say, the housing, while at times imperfect, right? Because I heard they had some like tents, like in some places, right? Just you know, they were just doing what they could do. Was provided welcome respite as they begin to eke out new lives in the city, right? In October, the city signed a $40 million contract to buy out the 1,300 room row and until mid-April, right? So that's some kind of nice little hotel, right? It was the first of several midtown hotels that now solely house migrant families. Under a $3.2 million contract, the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal on the waterfront in Brooklyn was converted into a temporary shelter for migrant men. The city has gotten creative as it tries to find space to house the migrants. Pay attention. The city has gotten creative as it tries to find space to house the migrants. The city has gotten creative as it tries to find space to house the migrants, right? It's on A. $3.2 million contract in January to start using the cruise terminal with its operator, Ports America, to house migrants. The terminal will revert to its original use as the summer travel season begins. Two new shelters are set to take place in the men who had been living in the cruise terminal, which held 1,000, right? So they're gonna put two new shelters up, right? So these people being creative about doing something, putting a roof over the immigrants, which a lot of them are illegal immigrants, making sure that they got a roof over their head. That's a noble thing to do. We have some people in the country, they don't have no place to stay, they sleep up under the stars. We can't have them sleep on the street in these tents. Like they from Kensington somewhere, we can't have them living like that. Like they from Skid Row in California, we can't have that. Not our illegal immigrants. They said my immigrants in the thing, but it's a lot of illegal immigrants too. One of the new shelters will be an office building at 455 Jefferson Street on the border of Bushwick and East Williamsburg, built as inspirational office space under a contract for roughly $360,000 a month. Yeesh. It is slated to have 400 cots and space for medical and legal services and a cafeteria. I know the homeless people right now, they must be throwing rocks at City Hall, the ones that don't want to be homeless. Of course, you know, there's always somebody out there like that who's out there in mental health or you know, that just won't permit them to, you know, to go inside and go get them cold blue, right? Stuff like that. We get that. What are you talking about that? That's why folks are angry. The government setting illegal immigrants up until they can find a job in the same communities that Americans and, in some cases, Black Americans search for employment with Americans' tax dollar. Sounds like replacement workers to me. They put an impoverished group of people in the neighborhood of an impoverished group of people. What do they think is going to happen? Maybe they know and expect the outcome. To add salt to injury, the U.S. is still treating real asylum seekers like trash, from NBC News. Fight extreme violence, political instability, and hunger engulfing Haiti, the United States is continuing to return Haitian migrants prohibited at sea back to the gang-controlled country. They have war in Haiti, right? To the dismay of Haitian advocates in the U.S. who decry the policy. They decrying the policy does not help nobody. Do something. They said the U.S. Coast Guard stopped 65 Haitians who were trying to flee Haiti by boat and sent them back to Haiti. Woo, I wonder how many of them are still alive. This is over. This article here was written. Let me see what year was that written in. I don't think that's this year. I'm not sure. They said there's a specific disdain when it comes to Haitian asylum seekers. I know y'all know the story of Haiti, but I'm giving you real quick. After knowing the story, I don't know if you call it successful, but they had a successful revolution. They kicked the enslavers out, the European enslavers out. And then they robbed them blind. You hear me? Toussaint, for some reason, I don't know what kind of guy Toussaint was, but you never trust your enemy. You never go into your enemy's house, especially after you just kicked him out of one of his strongholds. But for some reason, this dude must have thought that was a cool thing to do, and he could do that, but he shouldn't have done that because that was his end, that he did that. Anyway, so they just robbed Haiti, kept them in debt, and Haiti been in debt ever since the Haitian Revolution. That's the short story. I got some information on that. I might go back over that again. I don't know. But right now, that's just the short story about Haiti. And they've been robbing and raping Haiti ever since the U.S. was down there. They're down there again, twice. They're there now, supposed to be keeping orders or doing something down there. I don't know what they're supposed to be doing. But the last time they was down there, they were invaders. All right, as far as the information I read. And they're there now because Haiti has a lot of oil down there. Like, I'm talking about a lot of oil. One of the largest oil reserves and some kind of mineral. I forget the name of it. Anybody remember that? Just call and say, yeah, that's, you know, uranium or whatever. It's something, some kind of mineral. I forget the name. If I do that show, I got all that covered, though. But I don't want to do the Haiti show tonight, right? So the U.S. policy is to return non-citizens who do not have a fear of persecution or torture or legal basis. So how do 8 million Jodis cross over to the U.S. border? How do government say, hey, cut those lines down so that more people can cross in a wider area? So everybody coming up this area, they're being funneled, and we can't say we don't see them because they're right there. We need to get more room to get in. Try that in Russia. Try that in China. Try that in Korea. Try it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Like, just try one of a large influx of people just walking in Russia, China, or Korea. See what happens. I don't even think you can do that in North or South Korea. Anyway, the plot thickens. Even when asylum-seeking Haitians come into the country by way of the open southern border, they are mistreated. The U.S. policy discriminates against Haitians. Needless to say, there is a war in Haiti. What is wrong with these folks? Didn't people from the Ukraine come to the U.S.? From the nationalcenter.org. Black Americans, Project 21 commentary said, the permissive attitude of our political leaders towards illegal immigration is devastating America's black communities, they say. Right? Project 21 chairman Horace Cooper and Tom Holman in the Washington Times, they said, sanctuary cities that attract illegal immigrants have made urban neighborhoods increasingly what? Unsafe. Right? While most of those people may be nonviolent, while most of those people may be violent, non-violent, right? Most black people are non-violent, right? Nobody trying to go around, knock nobody in the head, shoot somebody 14 times. That's not a thing that everybody's trying to do. Most people don't want no parts of that, right? So most of those people are non-violent. Among that population is a criminal element from gangs such as MS-13, Mexican Mafia, right? The 18th Street Gang and others. 18th Street Gang is basically bad boys. This element preys not only on others here illegally, but anyone in densely populated urban areas, they say, which largely includes who? Black folks, right? Black folks is huddled up in these cities, right? Chicago has become a lawless hellscape where weekends of double-digit shooting victims are the norm. Y'all know what's going on in Chicago, right? I know y'all heard of the O'Block and what's the other guy's name? The GDs and the BDs fighting, right? They're probably the most famous ones that I heard of. So there's a bunch of other guys over there. But you heard about all of King Vaughn and all that. The boy, she got shot in the richest part of the city. FB Duck or something like that. Y'all heard about that? They just out of hand. Two was dying over there. I get the trauma. I get the pain. I get everything that's going on over there. But you gotta find a way to stop that. Anyway, back to the show. They said not coincidentally, Miss Lightfoot, the mayor, right, is a vocal supporter of sanctuary policies in Chicago. Gang members also contribute to a deadly influx of drugs. Do we need more of that in our big city? I mean, maybe we do. Maybe there's a demand for that. I don't know. But demand or no demand, we don't need any of that in our cities or countries or rural areas or, you know, mountaintops. We don't need it. Already challenged with a failing public school system and runaway crime, the last thing black population of Chicago needs is a city flooded with illegal drugs from gang members that should not be in the country at all. All right, so you're not MS-13, 18th Street Gang, or whatever gang they from, right? Coming into Chicago, right? These guys are already fighting for turf. They live a block, around a corner from each other, and they different neighborhoods, right? You know, and they gun each other down. Do we need more gang members? Do we need more people who do that? They sell drugs already in Chicago. Do we need more of that? What do you think, as the young lady alluded to, what do you think a person's going to do when they can't make money? It's like, you know, I don't know if people all know, but all drug dealers are not the same. They're not equal. We got some guys that sell drugs who will kill you. And you have some guys who, they're not killers. They're just out there trying to hustle. You know, they will defend themselves, but you have some guys out there who are mean, and they will handle things, you know, exponentially, as they say, right? They will get down when you get down. And some guys just want to make that money, right? So everybody out there is not trying to kill anybody. Black Americans are hit especially hard because illegal immigrants compete disproportionately for jobs held by blacks. Because we had the low part of the totem pole here, and they're coming in at the low part, so we're going to bump heads, right? Blacks have lost out of job opportunities, they said, to the illegal immigrant labor pool. Unemployment or even super unemployment creates significant hurdles to marriage in the black community and leads to greater levels of poverty for the black youth. So that means we're not getting married, right? That's out of wedlock children, more of that. Disintegration of the family contributes to that. And more poverty is going to lead to more crime, right? It correlates with higher levels of incarceration. The Cooper and the Project 21 Black Leadership Network recently released a comprehensive study on that, what immigration policy means for black Americans. You check it out. Look it up if you want to. So I'm not going to go. How much time I got? 9 o'clock. Okay. So I've got a long way to go, and I'm not going to get through everything I do sometimes. But from the Daily Beast, how mass immigration hurts Black Americans. Duh. Didn't think that, right? So we're going. I'm going to just say today, the body of 60 members from the Congressional Black Caucus, the CBC, right? Voting House Democrats and 2 non-voting has been missing in action. They said, oh, the CBC gags from me, right? So it's like somebody kidnapped the CBC or post CBC to go on vacation or whatever, right? They taking a lunch break, a long one. So they said, authors of Immigration and Economic Status of American Men in a 2010 study said that we find a strong correlation between immigration, Black wages, Black employment rates, and Black incarceration rates. As immigrants disproportionately increase the supply of workers in a particular skill group, the wage of Black workers in that group fell. The employment rate declined, and the incarceration rate rose. Because brothers is not going to go without when they got these other means of doing things, right? Be they legal or illegal, and we're talking about illegal stuff because that's how you get incarcerated, right? So, I'm not saying that's the thing to do. I'm saying that's the thing that people do, right? So, the CBC has a duty to protect the interests of over 18 million Black Americans it represents, even if it cuts against the grain of the party. That's right. Now, that's the kind of brothers we need representing. If you're scared of hurting somebody's feelings with the truth, you can't represent Black folks. Nowhere. You're scared of the truth. Are you scared you're going to lose your job? You're scared you're going to get the back of your head smashed? Please let somebody else step up and do that job. Y'all scared. Because you can't say you're representing us and you're fighting for us when you're scared to represent and fight for Black folks. You got to give up the belt. Let somebody else take it. Take the reins. You know, bro, there's no shame in that, bro. Fear is real, bro. We understand it. We just need to. That's courageous, that's ready to fight for Black folks. You know the law, you see what's going on, and, you know, ready to get their advocation, you know, advocate for the people they say they advocate for. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And we're not asking for a handout, slapping us in the face, kicking us in the butt. All right? That's where that's going. That's where that's going. So, the CBC members must shed their reticence and shine a spotlight on the mean correlation between the rising levels of immigration and the declining fortunes of Black workers, particularly men. So they say CBC not doing their job. So I say replace them. How can we replace these CBC members? Maybe it's hard to replace them because it's hard to get somebody to say they're going to do something for Black folks around here. It said, taking from Peter to feed Paul. Y'all heard that, right? You ain't really, that's no progress. You're just making somebody, taking something from somebody else to get to somebody else. So that person comes up and the other person, damn, right? You just took away from him. You inflated him to inflate him, right? So America's history of favorable treatment for immigrants is a window of the status of race and labor in our country. Black American workers have been diminished by pro-immigration policies ever since slave labor built the country. I can't get away from the slavery thing, because I try to avoid it during my so-called Black History shows. But it's a slave system anyway. Either way you look at it, it's a system of slavery. Anytime you see a disproportionate amount of earnings going to the earner of a particular industry, that's what you call slavery, economic slavery. You understand what I'm saying? And the people who work that industry are having a hard time making out for themselves. You know, because you are an economic slave. You know, so like I said, like if you got $2 billion, you make $100 million a year. Do you really have to make $100 million because you can of paid people or below viable or livable wage to work because they have to eat in this country, because everything you get here costs money, right? It's greed at the helm. And I say it is. And I say part of the problem, and I haven't heard anybody use that in any of these articles that I'm reading, but it appears that greed is driving the economy, and that is not good for the economy. You cannot have an economic process based on greed. That makes no sense. That's slavery. Any economic process that's predicated by greed and supported by greed you have a disproportionate distribution of the wealth, the money, and then you're going to create poverty, create substandard living, things like that. Share the wealth. You can't take it with you. And you have a responsibility, if you are someone who's in charge of an industry that people are dependent on, right? You're not saying people should have their own industry to depend on. Well, we're not worried about someone getting I guess I'm getting into my thing now, an unequal distribution of the wealth. We need to have our own. Don't put a name on it like communism, socialism, or anything like that. Put it as Americanism, because this is ours. When we say that's our gas station, right, that our fields, our crops, our agricultural industry, where is that that belongs to Americans? Because if we had that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And make those things support Americans and pay the people handsomely for working in those fields and let Americans reap benefits from that. Stop with this greedy stuff. Anyway, I'm going back to the show now. That's soapbox or action right there. Time is it? Okay. So those are some of the things that, you know, that I come across with this situation. So they're talking about immigration is harming American agricultural workers, right? This is interesting right here, this little thing that happened. Instead, the recent law alleged that let me work this up first. They said early this month, 13 black farm workers reached a settlement with two Mississippi Delta farm operators over immigration and racial discrimination. What? The settlements were not about the sharecropping of old, nor were they seeking restitution from slave plantations, some of which still operate as tourist attractions. Did you know that slave plantations still operate as tourist attractions? That doesn't make sense to me. Okay. Instead, the recent laws allege that the white Mississippi farm operators withheld wages from black Americans, imported white South Africans to replace American workers, imported whites from South Africa to replace American workers, right? Paid white workers from South Africa nearly $4 more per hour, and in some cases even paid the living expenses of the immigrants. You heard that? That's the kind of stuff we're dealing with over here. I don't know how often that happens. But that is what we're dealing with. So I went to Snopes. You know, they do the fact check thing and stuff like that. The guy was saying about you can cross the border here and get all types of things. So I just went over some of the things they talked about. So immigrants who are brought to the United States as children by their undocumented parents and who have previously been allowed to stay in the United States under the Deferred Action or Childhood Arrivals Program, DACA, D-A-C-A, right? That's what DACA is. Now, you got to ask yourself, wait a minute. Immigrants who were brought over to the U.S. as children by their undocumented parent and who have previously been allowed to stay in the United States under the deferred DACA, right? Employment. In fact, it is illegal to knowingly hire any immigrant who isn't authorized to work in the country. Didn't I just say something like they reported 8 million illegal immigrants working? So, like, as the lady said, wait a minute, you reported 8 million, and then it turned around with this law, it's illegal to knowingly hire any immigrant who isn't authorized to work. So maybe the paperwork looks so good, the guy say, oh, yeah, it's good. We paperwork, everybody put our paperwork. And it all looks good. Maybe that's it. I don't know. The paperwork looks so good. I'm going to assume that they have paperwork that says they are legal. Yeah, that's it. That's got to be it. Whether they enter the United States illegally or overstay a visa. If you overstay your visa, they're not supposed to hire you. But if it is illegal to employ 9 million more or less illegal immigrants, why is this government in the form of Democrats inviting immigrants to cross the border? This is, as the young lady alluded to, very confusing. If I was a drinking man, I would be drinking right now. I'd be having a joint while I smoke weed. It was like, this don't make sense. I need a joint. I would be crazy. This stuff for him to drive to smoking and drinking. A driver's license. We're talking about illegal immigrants. That's what you got to pay attention to. The word, the magic word here, the key word here is illegal. Depending on where you live, as of January 2018, there are 12 states and the District of Columbia, which allow immigrants without legal status, that's an illegal immigrant, to obtain a driver's license. Come on. All right. Some of the states are California, New Jersey, Illinois, have relatively high undocumented populations. Y'all heard that? Sounds like states that benefit from illegal immigration provide provisions for their illegal immigrants, right? I think the problem for some American citizens is the illegal part of the scenario. If you are in the country illegally, anything you do is illegal because you are illegally here. For many illegal activities leads to arrest, fine, and or imprisonment. And the rights of a citizen is specifically and exclusively the right of a citizen. It's almost like being illegal is legal because there are laws regarding the rights and benefits of illegal immigrants. Did that sound like who's on first base? It sound like it to me. That's like someone sneaking into your house and you have to provide something for them by law. You feel me? Food stamps. An immigrant who does not have legal status in the United States is not eligible for food stamps. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, although their children might be. Oh, come on. So give them food stamps for their kids, but you can't eat any of that food, Ms. Rivera. Don't you eat one morsel. Don't you. Come on now. Well, are we stupid? Do they think that we're stupid? My friend said they know that we're stupid. Wow. They said, indeed, undocumented immigrants do not receive most kinds of welfare benefits. That means they do receive some benefits, right? Gotta read what they're not saying, even though they do pay taxes. They're paying taxes. According to the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, a nonpartisan think tank, they don't take sides, they say, let's see. Undocumented immigrants collectively contribute to almost $12 billion per year in state and local sales, income, and property taxes. Money talks and other stuff walks, I'm telling you. You can be an American citizen all you want, but unless you can show how the oligarchs can benefit from your program or whatever agenda you have, you take a back seat to all of this stuff. Law takes a back seat. You know you take a back seat. A place to live. Generally speaking, undocumented immigrants are not eligible for federal housing benefits like public housing, rental assistance, and vouchers. However, in 2015, Congressional Research Service report outlines some undocumented immigrants may live in a household with citizens or qualified immigrants and therefore directly benefit from some public housing assistance. Although the level of that assistance is reduced pro rata basis due to the presence of that undocumented immigrant. Is it illegal or not? Did you just say it? So, like if you had a wanted criminal in your house, can he get stuff? I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. Undocumented immigrants are eligible for emergency assistance, such as homeless accommodation and domestic violence shelters. Is it true that if you're a convicted felon, you can't live in a PHA property, but illegal immigrants are qualified by law for housing? And these government resources available before or after Americans have been taken care of? Are they available before? We know the answer to that. The answer is they're available to immigrants, whether Americans have been taken care of or not, right? If it comes from a U.S. American resource, it should be resourced to provide the needs of the American people. Katrina, the hurricane, tornado, the natural disaster kind of like thing, the Hawaiian Islanders, somebody burnt their whole town up. They said, that's another story. Anyway, that type of stuff. Just people were homeless, right? And we have lots of them. It is possible for undocumented immigrant to own a home either by buying it or outright with cash. Now, I thought after $10,000, they could call the IRS on you if you buy anything for over $10,000. I might be over $8,000. Now, I know that, right? Been there. By using something called an individual tax identification number, the ITIN mortgage. This allows non-citizens, including undocumented immigrants, to bypass the usual requirements of having a social security number to take out a mortgage. But if you're American, you need a social security number, okay? Help me. This is crazy. Some 31% of undocumented immigrants live in a home that is owned by at least one of its residents as opposed to renting. So that's good right there. I mean, I just want to say this for you. You travel from Venezuela, Mexico, up in the United States and make your way, that's a hell of a thing to do. You understand what I'm saying today? But we talking about if you're illegal, and does illegal mean anything in the United States anymore, except when certain people want it to or not to, right? Because that's what we're experiencing. And do American citizens count? I'm saying not all the time. Maybe not most of the time. Maybe just coincidentally. How new? Anyway, healthcare. They said undocumented immigrants are not eligible to enroll in Medicaid, the Children's Health Care Insurance Program, CHIP, and the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, right? Which was, I think, was Mitt Romney care originally, right? Healthcare insurance marketplace significantly curtailing the affordable health insurance and health care available to them. So they can't get it like that, right? However, six states and the District of Columbia have rules that allow undocumented illegal immigrant children to avail themselves of medical benefits, and undocumented immigrants are also entitled to emergency medical care, right? Hey, they hurt, man, take care of them. I get that. That makes sense, right? That's anybody. I'm documented, undocumented. Anybody get hurt, dude, take care, man. You bleed, you know, stop the bleeding. Fix his bones, you know, take the bullet out of him if you get, you know, to experience the American way. Yeah. Anyway, so according to 2017, the Kaiser Family Foundation, Allen, non-elderly undocumented immigrants are four times more likely than United States citizens to be uninsured, and fears about immigration enforcement and detection often cause undocumented immigrants to forego preventive health care, leading to worse outcomes. So they don't want to get caught. They don't want anybody to find out that they're undocumented, so they don't get no medical care. But they buy a house, but they send their kids to school, but they work, and they pay taxes. That's the case for many criminals trying not to be discovered. It is called laying low. Bottom line, if you are in the country illegally, you kind of set yourself up for foregoing preventive care or detection, arrest, or deportation. The problem starts with crossing the border illegally. Child benefits. It's not entirely clear what the creator of this mind means, but child benefits. Let's not take a look. They talk about, so they're talking about the I'm gonna skip that because I don't have a lot of time. I got like 5 minutes. Anyway, undocumented immigrants are not eligible for TANF assistance, right? A federal program that provides financial help to low-income families and pregnant women. Education, but to get help. Education. And I'm not saying it's not good to help people. It's always good to help people. Don't get me wrong, y'all. I'm not being selfish or anything like that. But I'm saying, like everybody else is saying, whoa, help these Americans. Don't deny Americans while you help some people who are here illegally, while you invite people to be here illegally. Don't deny Americans, the people who are here. In 1982, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states are constitutionally barred from denying children a public school education on the basis of their immigration status. As a result, undocumented immigrant children can attend public schools for free, like any other children. And we all know school isn't free, right? You pay taxes, right? That's just weird. The illegal immigrant parents who are apprehensive about being detected, arrested, and deported, forego medical care, but take their children to enroll in school. I'm starting to think that illegal immigration isn't illegal at all. Call me stupid, but that's what I'm getting from chalkbeat.org. Chicago public schools enrollment climbs as more immigrants, right? Enrolled, right? More than 5,700 newly arrived immigrant students have enrolled in Chicago public schools. Undocumented children can benefit from federal nutrition services like school breakfast programs and a national school lunch. Only two states, Alabama and South Carolina, do not allow undocumented immigrants to attend public colleges and other third level institutions. Three others, Arizona, Georgia, and India, do not allow them to pay lower in state tuition fees, right? Until they can even go to college, you can go, right? Undocumented students are not allowed to receive federal financial aid for higher education, but they might be able to get state aid or private scholarships, right? Well, I can see why the immigrants are coming across the border. It's relatively easy. Over 9 million in the last couple of years confirmed that they are running to giveaways the United States government is offering. The short of the money, be it federal, state, or local government, does not make it more acceptable due to the illegal or non-citizenship status of the immigrant and the needs of the U.S. citizen, black, white, Latino, Asian, and whatever persuasion. And I'm going to have to cut the show off right there. Anybody have anything they want to say, feel free to say it, right? Is it me, or are we talking about our undocumented illegal immigrants who forego preventive care for fear of being arrested or deported, right? Tax-free business they're talking about. Undocumented immigrants pay taxes, and there is no provision in law at a federal state level which grants them any kind of tax holiday. What are you talking about? I even have a conversation about that. Does this sound like we're talking about illegal immigrants to anybody, or it sounds like that's just another status in the United States? It doesn't really mean illegal as in it's a crime for you to be here. It just means you just didn't come the right way, but we're glad you're here. It sounds like it means that. So, I don't know. Call me stupid. But, man, I feel stupid after reading all of that, to tell you the truth, because it just, that can happen, and that economy could be based on something like that, based on, I think, greed. I'm not going to pay you Americans. So either what they did was they took their corporation, put it overseas, opened up sweatshops, right? So the ones that are here, they said they bought people coming from destitute places and put them to work instead. And that's a problem, greed, right? That seven deadly sins thing, that thing is real. The problem there. Okay, so until next week, y'all, I just want to thank everybody for calling in, listening in. I want to thank our speaker, my co-host today, who called in to speak. I want to thank everybody who downloaded the show tonight or any night that you can, because you can download the show any day of the week you like. I want to continue to say each one reach one, each one teach one, and to my people, start helping yourself. Yesterday. Till next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised.
There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.